So excited to be in this place. Who feels the presence of God? Amen. Come on, five of you. Praise the Lord for being sensitive. Amen. The presence of God is in this place. And wherever the presence of God is, there's healing. Amen. Wherever the presence of God is, there's miracles. Amen. Wherever the presence of God is, there's breakthrough. Amen. If the presence of God comes into a place, there's deliverance. Amen. The presence of God brings healing and manifestations. And tonight, I'm gonna teach on a topic called worship. And I think many people do not understand worship and what worship does. Now, to worship God, I think, is one of the greatest privileges that we, as children of God, has today. The worshipers will say amen. It's the greatest privilege you have, is to give the King of Glory all the praise and all the honor. Come on, I'm not talking about a normal man. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's the greatest privilege to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, the Bible says that there's certain angels who worship God 24 hours a day. They declare, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Is that correct? Amen. Come on, if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. The Bible says the angels declare 24 hours a day. Certain angels that worship His throne, worships Him, they declare that He's holy 24 hours a day. But no angel can ever say amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Jesus didn't die for any angels. Did you know that? He didn't die for an angel. He died for me and you. So if the angels worship Him 24 hours a day, how much more should we as the church worship the King of Glory? Worship is not an event. Worship is a lifestyle. Your life should be a life of worship. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to quickly look at the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Paul says, "I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Now, it was a custom that when they lifted up hands, it's a sign of surrender. To lift up hands, it's a sign of worship. Did you know, by the way, that when you worship, you are at your strongest? Okay, somebody needs to help me preach in this place tonight. When you worship, you become strong. But the problem why many people have difficulty worshiping, you cannot worship until you understand love. If you do not understand love, it's impossible to worship, because worship must always come from a position of love. So when you love God, you will have no difficulty worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, who loves Jesus in this place more than you love anything else? Come on, do you love the Lord tonight? Come on, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Now, when you love Him, you have no problem worshiping Him. It doesn't matter even what people think about you. You don't worry what people think, what people say. As long as I can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, everything is settled. Now, if you quickly look at this, the Bible talks about Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham loved his son Isaac. We all know the scripture where God told Abraham, "I want you to go and sacrifice your son." Do you remember that scripture? So the Bible says, now, Abraham had to sacrifice his son, and he took his servants with him to the mountain where God would show him. So the Word of God says that as Abraham got to the mountain, he turned around, he told his servants, "You have to wait here while the son and I go and worship, and then we will return to you." Who knows that scripture? But God said to Abraham, "I want you to go and sacrifice your son." But did you know that Abraham loved Jesus more than he loved Isaac? The scripture proves that. Because if Abraham loved Isaac more than Jesus, Abraham would have said, "No ways, I'm not sacrificing Isaac. I'll rather sacrifice Ishmael." But what did he do? He obeyed God. So when you obey God, it means you love Him. He says, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." Amen? Come on, somebody in this place. So the Bible says, now he turns around, he said to the servants, "Wait here, we're going to go and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham understood something. There's a mighty revelation that God gave Abraham. The revelation is that your sacrifice should always form part of your worship. If your sacrifice does not form part of your worship, you will worship what you were supposed to sacrifice. Your sacrifice should always form part of your worship. That's why God said to Abraham, "Sacrifice." Abraham said, "I'm going to go and worship." Hallelujah. Sacrifice. Even if it means I'm going to kill my son, I'm going to come down and God will raise him from the dead because I'm a worshiper in spirit and in truth. Now that's what worship does. The Bible says there's a man called Job. Job was upright. The Bible says there was no man like Job on the face of the earth. Do you know what the devil said to God? He said, Lord, the only reason why Job is serving you is because your hand is upon his life. But remove your hand and you will see he will curse you to your face. The Bible says that the Lord said to the devil, well, you can go and test him, but you're not allowed to kill his life. You're not allowed to take him. And the Bible says the first thing that happened was his children were killed. His cattle were killed. Everything was destroyed. Everything he thought he had was gone in an instant. The Bible says, you know what he did after he lost everything? The Bible says he fell down to worship. So he didn't worship when everything was hunky-dory. He worshiped in the midst of trials and tribulations because that's exactly what worship does. Worship shifts your focus from the problem to the problem solver. Did you know that when you worship takes you in a place where you lose perspective of your problem and you put your focus on the problem solver? That's what worship does when you worship in spirit and in truth. This is the simple reason why I can tell you tonight that Job was a worshiper. Because a worshiper is not somebody that only worships on a Sunday morning when the pastor says we're going to go into worship. A worshiper is not just somebody that worships God when my bank account is full and when health is in my house and I've got breakthrough every single day. No, a true worshiper is somebody that worships in the middle of a crisis. That's a worshiper. And I've seen many people come to church and they worship God according to how they feel. If the dog has barked and bitten me, I don't want to come to church and worship God because I don't feel nice. My boss has made me angry. My wife has made me angry. Come on, guys, help me out. My mother-in-law drove me crazy. I'm not going to worship. But I don't feel good. You see, but God cannot be worshipped out of feeling. God should be worshipped out of love. When you worship God out of love, it means that's a relationship. I can tell you exactly tonight what's your relationship with God by just looking at your worship. A man and woman of God that can worship got a relationship with the great I am. Amen? So worship, the more we worship, the more our problems fade away. Worship creates an atmosphere for God to dwell in. The Bible says God lives wherever he's worshipped and praised. Amen? So whenever you worship God, he dwells in that place of worship. And the devil tries to steal away worship because the devil knows if there's worship, there's trouble for the kingdom of darkness. Because the more you worship God, the more the heavens will respond. The more you worship God, the more healing will come to your house. Do you need breakthrough in your life? You have to worship God until something happens, until you feel a shift in the atmosphere, and then you will receive from God. God says in His Word that He seeks true worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, to make everything very simple for everybody to understand, your worship is a sign of sacrifice unto God. Come on, saints of God. So when you worship, it should be a sacrifice. A sacrifice means it costs you something. If your worship didn't cost you anything, it's not worship. What do you mean it costs you something? Worship means I died to self. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. If you worship and you look around you and you think, yeah, look at this guy's looking at me. And you think about this, look at this crazy person jumping up and down. It means you're in the flesh. The Bible says David danced in the presence of God. I said David was dancing in the presence of God. The Bible says his wife Michelle looked through the window and she criticized him. But if you read the scripture correctly, the Bible didn't say David's wife criticized him. The Bible says Saul's daughter criticized him. Why? Because she reverted back to her father's character. A character of pride. And this is exactly what happens in the church nowadays is this pride comes in. And when pride comes into your heart, you cannot be a worshiper of God. That's why David, if you read the whole scripture, there's a big difference between worshiping from the showroom and worshiping from the throne room. David worshiped from the throne room. That's why whatever Michelle, his wife, said about him didn't bother him none. You see, the only reason why they criticize you is because you are standing out. They took notice of you, that's why they're criticizing you. If they didn't notice you, they wouldn't have criticized you. So when your worship are being noticed before God, you'll get people that criticizes you. Come on, they will try to kill your worship. They will try to stop whatever you are doing. Look at that man. Did you see how he's jumping up and down? When the Spirit of God comes over your life, you don't care what people think. It's about pleasing the great I am. Whatever you put focus on, you empower. Okay, help me out. If you put focus on or emphasis on people that criticizes the way you worship, you empower them to kill your worship. But if you put your focus on your worship and on your God, you empower your God to do great exploits in your life. Come on, somebody needs to worship. I said somebody needs to worship. I said somebody needs to worship God. In the middle of a storm, as long as you can lift up holy hands and declare that He's good, when trouble strikes and you can lift your hands and worship Him, you're A-okay. Don't lose your worship. Come on, you have to high-five somebody and say, don't lose your worship. Your worship always kills your Goliath. I want to quickly throw in something free of charge, right? Free of charge. I had a bulldog, an English bulldog. Now, for those who does not love dogs, just close your ears quickly. You won't understand. Do we have any dog lovers in this place? Oh, thank God I'm in the right place. So I had this little fat bulldog, English bulldog, and his name is Tyson. Now Tyson was not a normal dog, and this really happened now, right? Tyson was not a normal dog. I had three dogs, by the way, and Tyson was not a dog, it was my dog. But Tyson was a Christian dog. Why do you say that? Because at night I will pray in the presence of God and the tears will stream down my face and I will cry, and Tyson will sit next to me and he will cry with me. As I cry, he cries. If I walk to Tyson, I say, Tyson, praise Jesus, Tyson will lift up his paw. So Tyson was, if you say, Tyson, let's go for a walk, he will run to the garage, he will get his leash, he will go to the gate and he will wait for you until you get him. When you take a walk, Tyson, even you, when you are on your way back to your home, he will pull you down another street. He didn't want to go home. So he understood everything. Every single thing. Tyson was not a dog. I always said to the Lord, as I looked to Tyson, I said, Tyson, why are you not a human being? You're just too good to be a dog. And he broke his one knee. He had a knee replacement. He chased the cat. He broke the other knee. Another knee replacement. I said to him, Tyson, that's not the Christian way. And in any case, so the vet told me that this dog is one of the most healthiest bulldogs they ever saw. If I traveled, my dad would always look after Tyson and the other dogs, and then my dad will call me and he says, just speak to Tyson over the phone. Really. Let him just hear your voice, because Tyson's not eating, he's not playing, he's not moving, he's sitting in a corner the whole day. And then he will put the phone next to Tyson. I'll say, Tyson. He says, and Tyson jumps up and looks around. Where's his boss? He says, and then life will return. And then he will say, Tyson, go eat. And Tyson runs to his buckets and he starts to eat his food. And he says, my dad always told me, he said, Tyson's not a dog. This dog is human. So he was a lovely dog. At night, when he sleeps in the house, and then I have to put him out quickly, and then I will walk to him. I say, Tyson. And then one eye is closed, the other one is open, and he's watching you. And then he starts to snore. And then I say, Tyson, you're not asleep. I know you're not asleep. Get up. And then he will just watch with one eye. And then if you get close to him, he'll close his eyes and then he snores. One way. And then he'll just check where you are. If you walk away, he's up and ready. In any case, long story short, I love this dog so much that it felt like a child in the house. Everything I did, Tyson did with me. And the one morning I got out of my house, I saw one of my dogs crying. And that was quite strange. And I walked towards the dog. I said, why are you crying? And I was looking around, I didn't see Tyson, got in my car, and I was reversing out of my yard, and I saw Tyson laying there. I thought Tyson is asleep. I said, hey, Tyson, and Tyson's not moving. I said, Tyson, and I see he's not moving. Immediately I thought there's danger. Something happened with Tyson. Because I know when he hears my voice, as the Bible says, that my sheep knows my voice. So I knew that he knows my voice. So I got out of the car, as I walked towards him, I saw Tyson died. And it was one of the most heartbreaking times of my life. Now, I had a dog previously, which I raised from the dead. I laid my hands on this dog. God gave me back this dog. And now I laid hands on Tyson. I called him back. Nothing happened. I prayed and I prayed. I called open heaven. Nothing happened. And the more I'm praying, the more my heart is breaking on the inside of me, the more I feel it's unfair. Lord, why did you take, why did Tyson die? Why didn't one of the other dogs maybe died? Why Tyson? And just the day before he died, now people are going to say, this pastor is crazy. But I got into his little house. I crawled into his house. Tyson is snoring. I'm laying next to Tyson, having a big discussion just before I traveled. I said, Tyson, I'm going to go and win some souls. Where's Jesus? Praise him. Paul goes up. So that day, nothing happens. Tyson is dead. Praying for hours. Nothing's happening. He's 3 years old. And in my heart, I felt something ripped out of my heart. I went to my room. Doctors came. The vet came. They tested him. They said he was not poisoned. Nothing bit him. He just died. His heart on the inside just collapsed. And so my son came to me the other night. He said, Dad, it feels like a little brother died. The house is quiet. The house is not the same. But long story short, I went into my room. I closed the door and I was crying before God. I said, Lord, we've seen miracles in our own lives. Why is this? Why didn't it happen? Why Tyson? Why Tyson? So I felt like giving up on everything. My heart was just shattered on the inside of me. And then I started worshiping God. I said, Lord, I will worship you. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. Everybody is sad around me. But as long as I can lift up these two hands and worship you in the midst of my trials and my tribulations, I know that you will take me from glory to glory. The next night, I went into my prayer room again. My heart is broken. I can't understand what happened. Closed the door, seeking the face of God. And do you know what God told me? I heard His voice clearly as He said to me, I prayed for you as the devil tried to sift you. He wanted to kill one of your children. I said, no ways, rather take the dog. I want to tell you, that moment, my worship started changing. Because now I know all things are working together for my good because I love Him. Come on. I said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I love Him, everything works together for my own good. Why, Lord? Why did Tyson die? Because the devil tried your family. I said, no ways. You can bring a sifting. You can do whatever you want. But you're not allowed to touch his family. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. When your worship goes up, God will bring protection in your life. He'll bring healing. He'll bring restoration. All right, I'm talking to the real worshipers in this place tonight. Come on, if you're a real worshiper, can I get the hallelujah out of you tonight? No, I said, if you're a real worshiper, let me hear you say hallelujah in this place tonight. We need to become worshipers in spirit and in truth. And it doesn't matter if people criticize you and say whatever they want to say. The only reason why people criticize your worship is because they took notice of you. I've seen people, have you ever experienced this before? That those who criticize us the most does the least? You always hear people, why didn't he do it this way? Why didn't he do it this way? But the guy that says, why didn't he do it this way? My goodness, he never lifted a finger in his life. Why aren't you winning souls in this way? Sir, how many souls did you win? None. So you can speak about none. People criticize because they took notice of you. But don't let people's worship or criticism replace that with worship. Keep on worshiping God in the midst of your trials and tribulations. Do you know what happened with Paul and Silas? The Bible says that they were jailed. And the Bible says now, as they went into the jail, their feet were locked in. Now they were standing there waiting upon their sentence. So they were in the middle jail, the Bible says, with soldiers around them. And the Word of God says they were worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And something happened. Now read the scriptures, please. The Bible says at midnight, as they worshiped God, an earthquake came and it shook the whole jail cell. At midnight. In other words, at the darkest hour of night, while they were worshiping at the darkest hour, breakthrough came. In other words, when it's darkest hour in your life and you can worship, that's when your breakthrough comes. It's when you get a doctor's report that says you've got cancer and you've got 3 weeks left to live. In that midst of that trial, when you worship God, God does something behind the scenes and He brings healing to your house. Come on, when Absa Bank says, I'm taking away your house. In the middle of the night hours, when it's at its darkest, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it. That's when God blesses you. Come on, somebody needs to worship tonight in this place until something happens in your own life. When everything falls apart in your life, worship God. Come on, when you don't know left from right, worship God. Worship, when you start to worship God, it's your soul that ministers unto God. It's like you connect with God. It's intimacy with God. No man can worship like this. This is not worship. This is not worship. This is not worship. Worship is you step out of your comfort zone into the glory zone. Okay, can I say this again? You get out of your comfort zone into your glory zone. And you worship Him out of your heart. Not out of the mind. Out of the heart. Worship is not words that you're singing. I stood in the church the other night. Big church, thousands of people. And the worshippers, they were jumping up and down. They were yelling, falling on their knees, the whole performance. And the minute I opened the Bible, I had to preach, they were sitting on their cell phones. Not responding to the word of God. Not moving. How can you lead people into worship if you've never been there? How can you get the people of God into His presence if you do not live there? Worship is not a performance. Worship is a lifestyle. Come on. To worship in spirit and in truth. To when you worship in spirit and in truth. Paul says the following. He says in Romans chapter 12. Brethren, I therefore, brethren, beseech you by the mercies of God to obtain yourselves a living sacrifice. Pure and holy. He says that's your reasonable service. So when you become a living sacrifice. Now, when we leave this place, the Holy Spirit does not remain in this church building. Come on, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Is that correct? So when you become a living sacrifice, that's your reasonable service. So when we worship God, it's part of our sacrifice. I sacrifice something unto Him. The more I worship Him, the more He becomes real to me. Come on, help me out, somebody in this place. Is everybody, is allemaal nog hier? Kan ek dit gou so vra? Is allemaal nog hier? Vaag over my, is allemaal nog wakker is hier vanaand? I'm not just saying something because I have to preach on television. I'm telling you this because I live this life. God brings breakthrough when you worship Him. And we should not worship because of what the storm says. We worship Him for who He is. The great I am. Come on. Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. The Rock of Ages. Come on. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. We worship Him because He's the King of Heaven. We worship Him because He took my place. Come on. You and I were supposed to die on the cross, but Christ took our place. Hallelujah. So He's worthy to be worshipped and praised. The Bible talks about Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Abednego, and the Word of God says, now, the king Nebuchadnezzar said to them, you're going to worship me. They made a big golden God. And he said, well, you're going to worship. And if you do not worship this God, we're going to throw into the furnace of fire. These three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said to each other, well, this man needs to do what he needs to do. But we will not worship him. We will worship the true and living God. Now, please understand this. They had an option. Either you fall down before this dead idol and you worship him, or you're going to get killed tonight. You're going to get thrown into the furnace of fire. And do you know what they did? They said, well, we're going to worship the King of Heavens. And if he does not save us, that's also fine. But we will not. We refuse to bow down to the worldly system. We refuse to bow down before money. We refuse to bow down before people. Come on, I'm not here to bow before any man. I'm here to bow down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, if you do not bow, we're going to throw you in a furnace of fire. The Bible says, well, do whatever you want to do. They say to each other, we're going to worship the God of the heavens. And I love this portion of Scripture. The Bible says now, they even made this furnace of fire even hotter. And they took these three friends, throw them into the furnace of fire, and they bound them. The Bible says they were bound as they were thrown into this furnace of fire. And as they looked into this furnace of fire, all of a sudden, the Bible says, read the scripture in Daniel, it says that all of a sudden they saw a fourth person with the appearance of the Son of God. My God. Listen here. This is the Old Testament. Jesus was not revealed yet as the Son of God. But the Bible says, now people's going to say it's an angel. Every time Read the scripture, Son of God, big letters, capital S. He's the Son of the living God. So what happened was, as they worshiped the true and living God, the Son of God made his appearance in this fire. Please understand, not outside of the furnace, right in the middle of the furnace. And the word of God says, all of a sudden they are not bound anymore. The shackles was broken. What happens is, when you worship God in your fire situation, the Son of Man becomes real to your life and shackles falls to the feet. Can I tell you something? Why don't you receive your miracle? Many people ask me, Vessel, why am I not receiving breakthrough? It's because there's absolutely no worship in your life. The reason why many people are not receiving healing is because there's no worship. You want to get healed? Come on, who wants to get healed tonight? Can I see your hand? Do you want to get a breakthrough tonight? Come on, lift your hand. 2, 3, 5, 4, 6, 7. Here we go. If you want to receive breakthrough, you have to worship God. Become a worshiper. The Bible says in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, the word of God says, and you can read this. The Bible says, Saul, a distressing spirit from God, touched the life of Saul. Now, Saul was prideful. Amen? Pride comes before the fall. Those who know me, those who walk closely with us, they will all know one thing that Vessel the Brain does. Always give Jesus glory. That's the secret. One night I was praying before the Lord, and God said to me, I'll give you power over every sickness. And as long as you give me the glory, I'll use you. When you take glory for self, I'll remove you. You know how dangerous that is to experience the supernatural power of God and take glory for yourself, you will die. And I'm going to say something, maybe stepping on toes, but that's why many people die before their time. It's because they take glory for self. Now, a man that loves God will not ever take glory for self. He will always give glory back to Christ Jesus. Amen? Come on, amen? And the word of God says, now this soul was prideful and a distressing spirit sent from God. In other words, God allowed a demonic spirit to touch soul. Why? Because soul was disobedient. He was prideful. Amen? He was not in God's will anymore. So he was an open target for the devil. So what happened was, as the distressing spirit, this demonic attack comes, the Bible says, Saul says, can I just get somebody that knows how to play a harp? In other words, can I just get somebody that knows how to worship? Can I just get one man that knows how to worship the King of Kings? And they said, well, we saw a young boy with the name of David. He was beautiful, the Bible says. He was a nice looking man, and he knew how to worship. That's a bonus. Come on, I said, that's a bonus. He knew how to worship. And the word of God said he got before Saul, and every time David plays the harp, in other words, every time David worshiped, the demonic spirit left Saul. When David stopped, the demon spirit came back. In other words, worship gives you the power over demon spirits. They cannot live where God is worshipped. Somebody needs to worship Him tonight. Come on, I said somebody needs to worship Him tonight. Now, this is 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 17 says, David killed Goliath. Do you know why David killed Goliath? Because David knew how to worship. Your worship kills your giant. You have somebody needs to tell your giant, I'm coming for you tonight. I'm going to come for your head tonight. Tonight I'm cutting off your head in the name of Jesus Christ because I'm a worshiper. Come on, say worship is in this place tonight. Then your giant shall fall to the feet. David killed Goliath because he was a worshiper. That's why the Bible says David was a man of the God's own heart, because David knew how to worship and David knew how to repent before the Lord. Two things that the church does not like to hear. We don't want to worship. Why? Because it's a McDonald's mentality. For the Afrikaans people, ek sing 'n liedjie, ek gee 'n tikkie, ek slaap 'n bietjie. Amen? It's a McDonald's mentality. You have to pay, order, pick up and run. Everything in an hour's time. But David says, my soul waits on the Lord, because from Him is my expectation. He says, I'm waiting on God until God moves. In other words, if God does not move, I will not move. Amen? Come on, somebody in this place. You need to hear this word tonight. So there's no worship and there's no repentance. Because when people say, repent, the crowd responds, don't judge me. But what the crowd does not understand, it's not the preacher that judges you, it's your sin that judges you. Whew. Paul says, that he wished everybody should repent. Amen? Because without holiness, it's impossible to see God. So we need to have and live a holy life before him. Come on, with holy hands lifted to the heavens and declare his matchless power. Come on, declare the names which is above every other name. Now the word of God says there comes a time, a day, and an age where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now if you have a difficult time worshiping God on the earth, heaven is no place for you. Because in heaven we're going to worship him. Do you hear me tonight? I said in heaven we're going to worship him. Some people, if I look at their worship, I know why they sit where they sit. Because there's absolutely no worship. Amen? So Paul and Silas, in the middle of the night, at the darkest time, breakthrough came as they worship the Lord. In my own life, I've seen it many times. Many, 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 many times. We didn't know where the next bread will come from. We have to put empty plates before my children and lift up holy hands and say, Father, I thank you for the supernatural. And then a knock on the door comes and there's food. In the middle, when you worship God, when you are down to nothing, God is up to something. Come on, if you can just get yourself to lift up those hands and say, Lord, I'm going to worship you no matter how I feel, no matter how the circumstances is, I'm just going to lift up your name and I'm going to worship you despite of how I feel. When I want to ask you tonight, when sickness struck, will you worship him? When you don't get your breakthrough right now, will you still worship him? Come on, will you worship him when you are getting thrown into a furnace of fire? Will you still worship him when people are backstabbing you and backbiting you? Will you still worship the King of Kings when everything falls apart in your life? Will you still call upon the name of the Lord? Worship brings breakthrough. Only thing that we need to do is get those hands lifted to the heavens. Come on, somebody needs to lift their hands in this place and say, Lord, I'm going to worship you tonight. Don't let the devil keep your arms bound. Come on, you are loosed in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift up those hands and say, Lord, I'm going to worship you and I'm going to get through this. Worship brings acceleration for your miracle or to your miracle. Worship is the acceleration pedal. The more you worship, the quicker the process. Now, every eye on me, I want you to understand something. Before any promise, there's a process. There's a process before the promise. But worship accelerates your process and gets you to the promise. Do you get this? I said enough, I can close my Bible and go home. You've received so much breakthrough tonight, or so much revelation about worship. Your worship should change tonight. Worship is not about looking at each other and say, I've seen it as a child. I grew up in church. They're worshiping. But they are mindful of the things of the flesh, while this lady is exactly like David. Michelle was not worshiping, yet she criticized David. Amen? People will criticize you. If you don't want to get criticized, just sit and do nothing. And you won't get criticized. But if you get up and do something with the kingdom of God, they will criticize you. Come on, they will try to rip you apart. But your worship will get you through another day. A worship will get you through another hour. I said your worship will get you through another second. Your worship will get you through circumstances. Even if you lost your job, let me explain this to you. When you worship God, jobs will come and seek you. If you need healing, you start to worship God. Healing will seek your life. Do you know what God does when a worshiper starts to worship in spirit and in truth? He gets you into a place of mighty, mighty favor. All of a sudden, somebody else needs to labor for something while you enter his rest. Now, I'm getting somewhere. Can I preach tonight in this place? The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, the word of God says, Peter was jailed. Amen? Jailed. And he was in the center jail, and the word of God says Peter was sleeping, knowing that he's going to die the next day. It was the same Peter that denied Christ Jesus 3 times. Many of us, we are Peters. The other night I took my team. About 6-7 guys, just the men. I said, we're going to pray. Now we're praying. We're pressing in. And I saw the one guy sleeping. But he's sleeping. The drool is running out of his mouth. He's out. So we all got up. And we said, wow, we had an awesome time. This man is still out. And I shook him. I said, hey. No, he didn't wake up. Eventually, we clapped our hands. And this man jumped up. He said, wow, I had a powerful time in prayer. I said to him, Peter, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He said, what do you mean? I said, he was sleeping. He said, I was not sleeping. I was praying. I was in the heavenlies. I said, if sleeping means heaven to you, that's it. And what I tried to get to, the same Peter, bound in jail, they're going to kill him the next morning, but he decided to enter into the rest of God. There comes a time where you just have to enter into the rest of Christ Jesus. And then there comes a time with Paul and Silas, also in jail, where they worshiped until something happens. Now this is exactly what I mean. You can enter into his rest and worship until something happens. When you combine that, when I worship the King of Glory, I can enter into his rest, knowing that he already got my back. Please listen to me tonight. God knows that your rent is due. I was standing one night, standing in my house, didn't have a car. I had to pay my rent. So I had to walk to the bank. It was 7 kilometers. So I was walking all by myself, speaking to God. Got to the ATM, put a card into the ATM. Out comes a slip. It says insufficient funds. Walked back home, 7 kilometers back. My wife said to me, and I said, and nothing. There's no money. She said, all right, give me 5 minutes. She ran to the top floor. She started crying out to God, started worshiping and praising him. Got down and said, all right, go again. I said, what? I just came back from the bank. You want me to walk again? She said, you walk. I was walking. I complained. I said, God, this wife you have given me. Now I have to walk. She's sitting nicely, comfortable in the house. I have to walk, complaining. But when I got to the bank, I placed my card into the ATM, and out comes the slip, the exact amount I needed to pay my rent. That's what worship does. I said, that's what worship does. Come on, I said, that's what worship does. When you worship God of the heavens, he will respond with fire. He will respond with fire. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Come on, if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Come on, I said, if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Start to worship him in spirit and in truth. Everything else fades away. I love him. That's why I worship him. I love him. That's why I do what I do. Do you know how many people criticize us on a daily basis? Especially when in the healing ministry, people criticize you. They criticize what they do not know. It's very easy to sit at the sideline and criticize, but until you have not walked into my shoes, and if you have not experienced my worship, you cannot talk. If you know my pain, you'll understand my praise. Come on, so you need to tell somebody. If you understand my pain, you'll know why I praise the way I praise you. If you know where God has took me through, you will know why I worship him as crazy as I do. If you understand my pain, you will understand why I preach the way I preach. I know what it means to go through that season, but I also know what it means to worship God when people say, curse God and die. Hallelujah. Now, I love the following. If you have your Bibles. Well, there's a scripture, Philippians 4:14 says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. So in all things, we should rejoice in the Lord. Do I rejoice because I'm in a storm? I don't rejoice because of the storm. I rejoice because I know the calmer of the storm. Oh, it's quiet. Can I say this again? The Bible says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. There's a song. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Come on. It was the tannies where it geken het. Ek het echt groot geworden. Ek altijd nie like hier. Rejoice in the Lord. Dan had die hem nog gegooi in die kerk. All right. Now, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. So, in other words, when a storm comes, now I need to rejoice. Why do I rejoice because of the storm? No, I rejoice because I know the calmer of the storm. So in all situations, we have to rejoice in the Lord. When they persecute you, you have to rejoice in the Lord. When you go through fiery trials, I have to rejoice in the Lord. I have to worship the King. Come, I have to shake the heavenlies with my worship. You have to rejoice in the Lord. When your boss gives you trouble, you rejoice. Come on, when people tell you you can't do it, you have to rejoice. I said, when hell breaks loose, you have to rejoice. You have to rejoice. I said, you have to rejoice. My cameraman, Martin, that is here tonight, he checks me on a daily basis. He's with me for 24 hours a day. So he knows my life. He knows my prayer. He knows the way I operate, the things I do. And one thing he said to me, he said that your faith encourages me. He says, you speak now and later it happened. He said, how's that possible? I said, well, when you have a relationship with the Lord. Now, listen here. If you are intimate with God, you are not intimidated by a man. Worship brings intimacy with the Lord. I am not moved by what the world says. Young people, quick look at me. When people tell you you are too young, show them the Word of God. Rejoice. I'm 29 years old. I've been to more than 40 countries of the world because of His goodness and His mercies. Amen? Because I'm a worshiper. And one man told me one day, when I entered ministry, he said, Vessel, many came before you, many failed. You will not make it. And I turned his words into worship. And I started worshiping God. When in nights I wanted to give up. Do you know how many times I wanted to give up? And I cried before the Lord. I said, Lord, I will never return to ministry. It's the hardest, most loneliest pain, the most loneliest road that you can ever imagine. If you want to get lonely, get into the ministry. People do not understand you. Come on, I said, people do not understand you. My whole team says to me, the guy preaching and the guy, it's not the same guy. I'm a shy guy. I'm an introvert. I don't speak much. But when I preach, the power of God does something on the inside because I'm a worshiper. I'm ready to kill a Goliath. Just by the way, did you know that David was short? But he was a worshiper. I said, he was a worshiper. He was a worshiper. So at nights when I wanted to give up, I just keep reminding myself, get your worship on. Get your worship on. Lift those hands and praise Him through the circumstances. The Word of God says that Moses, I'm going to read it. Let's read it. Open your Bibles, the book of Exodus. Exodus in chapter 17 and verse 8, the Bible says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. In other words, when he let down his hands, the enemy prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now this is powerful. The Bible says when Moses lifted his hand, victory came. The minute he placed or put down his hands, the enemy won over him. Until he got to a place where he was so weak and so tired. Now I'm talking to the real people in this place. Until he got to this place where he didn't know how he's going to pay his debt anymore. He didn't know if he's going to see the day of tomorrow. He didn't know if he had the courage to carry on with life. Come away with me if you've been there. If you have been down and out. It didn't happen. It doesn't happen in PE. Jeez, Louise. Do you have people in this place? Come on, where's the real people at? Says, Vessel, I know what you're talking about. I've been down and out. I've been this. You are so down. The only way out is up. Have you been there? Now this is Moses. Lord, I'm so down. There's no way. I can't even go down. And the only way out now is up. Now a person that makes a rebound, A person that makes a person that brings a recovery, a person that recovers, is a dangerous person. A person that rebounds is a dangerous person. Let me explain this to you. If you have nothing and the only way out is up, you become dangerous. Why? Because your prayer becomes dangerous. If you didn't lose everything in life, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if you went through a season where you had nothing and you had to worship your way out, then your worship starts to change. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, my worship is going to change. Come on, tell your neighbor, my worship will change. Because there's only one way out of my situation, that's worship. Come on, that's worship. So the Bible says now, Moses, his hands became so tired and something happens. Now here's the shift. The word of God says they found a rock. Moses sat upon the rock. And as Moses sat upon the rock, they took his hands, they helped him. They knew victory is not when his hands is down. Victory comes when holy hands are lifted up. So they made a plan. They said, if we're going to win, we're going to have to help this man. We're going to have to help him get his hands lifted to the skies. So the Bible says he was seated on a rock. I don't know about you, but my Savior, he's the rock of ages. He was seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places before Christ even came to earth. Paul says, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. That means the authority that Christ has, I have it on the earth. Come on, this is what the Bible says. Amen? Come on, help me, saints of God. Do you know the scripture that Paul says, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places? I've got the authority. He has given me the same authority. Now the Bible says, now Moses was seated on the rock. In other words, Moses was seated with Christ in heavenly places long before Christ Jesus came to earth. And out of that place of intimacy with the Lord, the Bible says he started lifting up his hands and he prevailed over his enemy. Now, if you do not have the courage and people are breaking you down, you don't know what's left, you do not know what's right. The only thing, if you can just get your hands lifted to the heavens and say, Lord Jesus, I pray that you will help me just one more time. Just give me the strength. If you do not have the strength, get a brother. Say, brother, I'm tired. I'm so weak. But just if you just get my hands to the skies, breakthrough will come. I'm tired. I'm weak. I don't know what to do next. Just get your hands to the heavens. And victory will come. Your boss fired you. Get your hands to the skies. Victory will follow you. Now, Vessel, where do you get the scripture that Moses was seated with Christ? Let me tell you. Old Testament, shadow. New Testament, substance. Amen? They walked under the shadow. We are living in the substance. Right from Genesis, right up to Revelation. Everything is about Christ Jesus. Everything refers back to Him because in Him we live and move and have our being. Everything, the whole scriptures is full of Christ Jesus. I can take you from Genesis right to Revelation and you will see everything points back to the Christ. That's why even, I'm going to carry on, I'm just going to throw in some bit of charge. Moses came before the Lord, he said, Lord, who are you? God said, I am that I am. Do you know that portion of scripture? Moses said, Lord, who are you? He inquired of the Lord, who are you? God said to him, I am that I am. Now, that's Old Testament. Paul comes in the New Testament. He says, I am that I am by the grace of God. In other words, what did he say? I am that I am by the grace of God. I am that I am. He's the I am by the grace of God. So I can have what I have by the grace of God. The anointing upon my life, I have it because of the great I am. In Him, we live and move and have our being. Did you know that I've seen it in churches and in lives, my family members, they use the name of God in vain many, many times. What do you mean? They say, I am sick. I am poor. His name is I am. The Bible says, let the blind say I can see, let the poor say I am rich. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I said, let the redeemed of the Lord.